So we're trying to understand this pasuk, Ach toiv v'chesed yirudufuni. Goodness and kindness should pursue me. What does it mean, should pursue me? It sounds a little bit of a negative connotation. So we're pointing out that every person from time to time needs a hisoirus, needs a wake-up call in his avodas Hashem. And we know it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu with love. Sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's not painful. But either way, it's coming from Avinu Avorachamon, and the reason why he's sending it to us is as a wake-up call. But it can come in two forms, in very opposite forms, but there's a common denominator. Either it can come in the form of a tzara. If somebody undergoes personal or communal or national tragedy, for example, then we know it's a wake-up call, and there'll be divrei musa, and there'll be divrei hisoirus, and I think it's fair to say that our community is very good at that. Whenever chas v'shalom there's a tragedy, especially, for example, a godel b'Yisrael passes away, as has just happened, and there's hespedim, and everybody's trying to be nisoirer. But there's a different type as well, and perhaps that's not so easy. And that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us, not a tzara, but to the exact opposite, he sends us toiv v'chesed. Because when a person is zoicha to toiv v'chesed, he has to realize that that comes with responsibility. And that also is a wake-up call. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has granted you the privilege to win the lottery, $1 million, then he expects from you upgraded avodas Hashem. If anybody wants to see further details, they should learn extensively the Chevus Halvavus in Shara Avodas HaLeikim, who speaks about this in countless places, that the more one is zeicha to kindness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the higher the level of Avodas Hashem that's expected from you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore, could really send somebody a wake-up call in two forms, either as a tzara, personal health, parnasa, gashmias, ruchnias, whatever it may be, and that's sent with the express purpose to wake up to this person to upgrade his avodas Hashem. Or it could be the opposite way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could send him not a tzara, to the contrary, a great chesed. But then that's also an alarm call from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reb Chaim Kanievsky's father, the stipler, once said that I feel very, very fortunate that I'm not wealthy. Why? Not just because I know I'd have people banging on my door, because he says I would be overwhelmed with responsibility, and I'm not sure if I'm up to the task. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants me a lot of wealth, and that comes with achrayas, therefore that's my alarm call. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending me a message that I'm expected to do things in my avodas Hashem that others are not. And I'm not sure, says the stipler, if I am really up to the responsibility. So either way, a wake-up call can come in two forms. And therefore, that's what David HaMelech was davening for. Ach toiv v'chesed yirudufuni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, quote unquote, can pursue somebody in two different ways. Pursue maybe has a negative connotation. Of course, it's not for a negative result, but it can be a scary connotation. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pursuing him in order to shake him up, to grab him by the scruff of the neck and saying, wake up, upgrade your avodas Hashem. So David HaMelech is requesting, if I'm going to be, as it were, pursued, well, then at least it should be the toiv v'chesed. Let it be a wake-up call that comes in the form of goodness and kindness, and not chas v'shalom, that comes in the form of tragedy. Either way, both of these are reasons for us to stop and think how we can individually and collectively be mischazek in our avodas Hashem. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Klal Yisrael lost its leader, of Gershon Edelstein, and I'm sure in every community there were hespedim and divrei chizuk. And of course, the purpose of the Hespedim is not just to praise the person who is Niftar, but more importantly, it's for us to wake up. It's for us to wake up. It's for us to be a chizuk. Because if we are zeicher to toiv v'chesed, for example, and we don't wake up, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to send us tzaros instead. We don't want that. So therefore, if we wake up, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be'ezus Hashem, will not need to bring further tzaros and can choose to wake us up in different ways through goodness and kindness. When people spoke about the Rosh Hashiva, so Rosh v'Rishon, obviously, everybody's talking about the famous photograph of Rav Gershon giving a shir in his hospital bed on the last day of his life. And as has become very well known now, he was literally writing his final chidushim, preparing a shir. The pen in his hand just dropped. And with that, his neshama was taken. So clearly, therefore, if we're talking and we're thinking to ourselves, what can we be mischazik in? Number one is limud Torah. Limud Torah, and specifically, hasmada in Torah. Rav Gershon Edelstein gave a shir every single day of his life, the last 70 or 80 years, Rav Kornfeld told me, including Chol HaMoed, including Bein Hazmanim, including Yom Tov, there was no day off for him. So this clearly is a time of reflection for us. Now, what does that mean, a time of reflection? So of course, first and foremost, it's an individual level. Every person has to ask themselves a question, am I learning enough in quantity and also in quality. But there also is an aspect of a communal introspection. And because we, Baruch Hashem, get together every morning, so I think it would be correct for us as a chabura, to try and be makabel on ourselves, a chizuk in this area of limud Torah. Like I said, Rosh v'Rishon, it's a very individual thing. Every person can ask himself the question. Maybe I could add 3 minutes to my learning, maybe 3 hours to my learning. Even if I genuinely can't add the time, but maybe I can make better use of the time that I do dedicate to learning. Either way, I'd like to suggest, if I may, as a chabura, something that we could do with chizuk. I would just like to explain. I hope you will judge me favorably. But every morning I have a chavrusa in the morning. Some of you may know my dear friend, our dear friend, Reb Bernard Bloch. So I learn with him on the phone from 8:20, officially till 8:45. And on occasion, it's true, we spill over, and by the time we start the shir, I know today was an exception, but the time we start the shir, it's 8:50, and then we start with the hellos, and then the question, and then the shir is quite short at the best of time. We're only learning 4 days a week. I would like, at least from my part, and if anybody is willing to be on board with me, then I'd appreciate it. I'd like to try Bli Neder as a chizuk for the whole Chabura, to try and start as close as we can to 8:45. So Bli Neder, I will tell my Chavrusa in the morning, 8:45 I have to finish, and then I will Bli Neder switch on immediately. And even if it means we're beginning at 8:47 instead of at 8:50, well, that's a huge gain, and that's a very big chizuk. That's 3 minutes gained. And remember, there's 7 or 8 people in our chabura, so 24 minutes gained. And times that by 4, that's already 2 hours. So a little chizuk is actually a very big chizuk. That would be the first point. And the second point is that we should just try and keep the momentum of the shir going. As I said, as far as I was concerned, I wish it was not on mute. And I wish we were all sitting around the table. It's not possible for various reasons. It should be an interactive shir, but we're going to try our best to keep the momentum going, to keep the questions limited, and myself included. If we want to go off on a tangent, then we should do that at a different time. But we have a short shir. It's barely 40 minutes at best. We'd like to do every effort to start as close as we can to on time, and also keep the momentum going. We'll keep our questions limited and focused. And that way, Be'ezus Hashem, I think we can then daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ach, toiv v'chesed yiridufuni. We can say we really learned the message and we heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu calling out to us that if he took from us the leading masmid of our generation, then the least we could do is try and be mechazik our own hasmada, like I said, on individual level, but also on our chabura level, at our chabura level, as I said many, many times in the past, if you think about the phenomenal miracle, which is our chabura, for people from Canada and from America and from England and Netanya and all over, from LA, from all over, all us together, b'derech neis. So we as a chabura have a collective achrayas to try and really maximize this learning opportunity. So as of tomorrow, as I mentioned, today also I actually switched on at 8:46 and my computer crashed on me. Okay, so be'ezus Hashem, beginning right now, as of every day, we will try and switch on at 8:45, begin straight away, and keep the momentum of the shir going. Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, and with that way, we can dive into our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ach, toiv bo chesed yiridufuni. So the only wake-up calls that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send our way won't have to be derech tzara, but amidst Hashem, only through goodness and kindness for many, many, many years to come. We're learning the Gemara on the Tes Zayin Amud Beis, right at the bottom. And it's the second bottom line, and it says, Sanhedri Gedoyla Hoysa. This is a reference back to the Mishnah Daf Beis. The Mishnah Daf Beis says that the Sanhedrin Gedoyla have to be 71. We have actually finished now, Baruch Hashem, the entire comprehensive list of the Mishnah. We've gone through every single case, Baruch Hashem. The only last thing that remains to look at is the very last line of the Mishnah, and that is, how did we arrive at these numbers of 71 and 23? And that's going to be this final sugya, which is for one daf, and that takes us to the end of the perek, Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach. So look at the bottom line of the Gemara. Sanhedri Gedoyla Hoysa. My timer derabbanon. If you look in the Mishnah, have a brief glance at the Mishnah Daf Beis, because you'll actually see that there's a machlokes there. If you have the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, it's nine lines from the bottom. The first word on the line is Sholosh. And it says there, Sanhedrin Gedoyla Hoysa Shol Shivim Ve'echad. The very large Sanhedrin, as we know, was 71 Dayanim. And the Katana was Shal Esrim V'Shloisha. Now, we've already discussed this. The Esrim V'Shloisha was, of course, the local 23 Dayon Bezdin in every single town, as opposed to the 71 Dayon Bezdin was not in every town. There was only one of that Bezdin. Where were they? They were in the Beis HaMikdosh, Yerushalayim HaKodesh, in the Lishkas HaGozis. Now, the Mishnah said, continue on with the Mishnah, Minayin legedoyla shehi shel shivim ve'echot. How do I get to this number of 71? Shenema, because it says, Isvoli shivim ish mizikne Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, gather for me 70 elders of Klal Yisrael. U'moshe al gabehen, as Moshe was together with them, that's 71 altogether. There is a very obvious question to be asked, which we will address in a moment. So there were 70 elders plus Moshe Rabbeinu, that's 71. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shivim. So Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And Rabbi Yehuda says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to gather 70 elders, then apparently the Beis Din was a 70. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was with them, no, that's not true. Moshe Rabbeinu was not a member of the Beis Din. So we have a machlokes, is it 71 or 70? So look now back at our Gemara on the very bottom line of Tes Zayin on the base. Sanhedri Gedoyla Hoysa, my time with the Rabbonon. What is the reason behind for Rabbonon who say that it's 70 elders plus Moshe Rabbeinu? The Omri, they say, U Moshe al Gabehen. Moshe Rabbeinu is, as it were, overseeing these 70 elders, so that in all together, in total, it's 71. How do they know that? Omakra, because the Pasuk says, V'hisyatzvu shom imoch. Top word, the critical word is imoch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, select the 70 elders who will be imoch. What does that mean, imoch?
With,
says the Gemara, imoch means va'at bahadayu, and you together with them. So that's how the Rabbanon understand. It's not just selecting 70 elders. But rather the instruction was, and that you shall be together with them. So it's 71 in total. So why does Rabbi Yehuda disagree? Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said that what? That it's not, it's just 70. So how does he understand this word imoch? Doesn't the Torah clearly stipulate that it's got to be 70 imoch together with you? So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, because I understand the word imoch to teach us a completely different halacha. What is that? Says the Gemara, imoch mishum shchino. Because of the shchino. Now, what does that mean, because of the shchino? So have a look at the top. Rashi says, two pshatim. Imoch mishum shchino. Says Rashi, what that means is, imoch ya'amoidu michutz lo'oihel, but v'lo yavoyu lo'oihel. Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed into the oil, meaning into the Mishkan, but they were not. Why not? Mishum shchino. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda understands that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, select 70 Zakenim, they should be with you. With you means standing near you, but not actually literally by you. You can enter the Mishkan because Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed, as it were, to come into contact with the Shekhinah, but they cannot. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that the word imoch does not mean that you have to be the 71st Dayan, and imoch meaning you should join forces with them in the Beis Din, but rather imoch means they should be accompanying you but not standing next to you, i.e. you stand in the oil and they stand outside of the oil. Why? Because of the Shekhinah. That's the first pshat. Says Rashi, Loshen Acher, or an alternative explanation, what does it mean, Mishum Shekhinah? Means something else completely. It means, Mishum Shekhinah, Shetishre, Shekhinah, Aleihem. So that the Shekhinah should reside on them. This is an absolutely critical, fundamental Hashkafic principle, and that is that when a Dayon paskens a Shaila, then the Shekhinah is with him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him. But he needs to earn that privilege. How were the 70 Dayonim going to be Zoicha that the Shekhinah, the divine presence, should indeed reside upon them? The answer is by virtue of the fact they attached themselves to Moshe Rabbeinu. So, not that Moshe Rabbeinu became one of the Dayanim on the Beis Din, but rather, says Rashi, Hutzruchu liyos Moshe imohen. Moshe Rabbeinu had to be with them, as in proximity, but not as a member of the Beis Din. Kedeksiv, as it says, Va'otzalti min haruach asher olecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, as it were, the ruach, this divine spirit, which is amongst Moshe Rabbeinu, will, as it were, be shared or transferred to the other Dayanim. So either way, Rabbi Yehuda therefore translates the word imoch, not as in to mean you have to join forces with them and you become another member of the Beis Din, the 71st. No, imoch either means they have to stand outside the Beis HaMikdash, or it sounds imoch, they will be zoicha to the Shekhinah through you. Varying explanations and interpretations of what this word imoch means. But either way, it does not mean that you are the 71st member of the Beis Din. So of course, the obvious question is, we now have to ask the Rabbonon, so how do they learn the word imoch? They understood that imoch means that the 70 have to be with you and you are number 71. So the Gemara says on the second line, Rabbonon, the Rabbanon says, no, don't worry, we found another pasuk. V'nosu itcha b'masa ha'om. Rabbi Yehuda says, I found another pasuk which says, v'nosu itcha, they shall bear with you the burden of the nation. What does it mean, they shall bear with you? Itcha means v'at bahadayu. If they're bearing the burden of the nation with you, so it clearly means you're sharing equal responsibility and you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are on the Beis Din just like them. So therefore, don't tell me that Imoch means Shechina, etc., etc. But Moshe Rabbeinu is not one of the Bezdin. He is one of the Bezdin. Because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. You've got to bear the burden. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Rabbi Yehuda, Ato Bedoimin Lecha. When it says Itcha, it doesn't mean, says Rabbi Yehuda, that you have to be with them literally on the Bezdin. It means Bedoimin Lecha. They have to be with you as in similar to you. In order to qualify to be on the Sanhedrin, they have to be with you, not that you are on the Bezdin, but they have to have similar qualities to you. Which are they? So look at Rashi on the last wide line. B'doimin l'cha, miyuchasin. First, you'd have to have that pedigree, that heritage, and also umenukin mimum, and also free of any spiritual blemish. Right? You remember those psukim in Parshas Yisro that talk about all the credentials, the various qualifications in order to be a dayan. Therefore, the word imoch or itcha, says Rabbi Yehuda, doesn't mean you've got to be with them on the Bezdin, but rather they've got to be with you. They have to share similar character traits, says the Gemara. In conclusion, the Rabbonon, however, they learn that from a different pasuk. The Rabbonon, they learn it from the pasuk, Mivehokel me'olecha v'nosu itcha, quote unquote. That is a pasuk that's actually written in Parshas Yisro. Now, the Dayanim that was spoken about in Parshas Yisro was not the Sanhedrin Gedolah. The whole concept of the Sanhedrin Gedolah was only introduced in Parshas Bahaloscha when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, select Shivim Zakenim. The Dayanim that Yisro was talking about was the Sanhedrin Ketana. However, says the Gemara, the Yalfa, Sanhedrin Gedolah, mi Sanhedrin Ketana. Even though that pasuk of Itcha, from which we learn that the Dayanim have to have similar to qualities to you, is talking about a Sanhedrin Ketana, but with every license to apply that also to a Sanhedrin Gedolah, and that is the end of the discussion. Have a look at Rashi on the last wide line. Barabonon, Nafki Lohu, how do they extract this halacha of Bedoimin Lachor? They learn it from the Pasuk of, quote unquote, Mivanosu Itcha. The Sanhedrin Ketanois, Sanhedrois Ketanois Shenem Rubi Yisroi. That pasuk, it's true, is written with regard to the Sanhedrin in the Sanhedrin Ketanos in Parshas Yisro, but v'yalfa gedoyla mi ketano. However, we learn the halachas of the Sanhedrin gedoyla from the Sanhedrin ketano, which therefore means, in conclusion, yes, we have a machloikas between Rabbonon and Rabbi Yehuda. Everybody agrees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to gather 70 Zakenim, and then added the word Imoch. So Rabbonon translate very simply, and Imoch means they should be with you. You should be with them on the Bezin at 71. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not what Imoch means. Imoch means other explanations of Shechina, and all the other halachas, that's a discussion where you learn those from, this concept of Doimin Lecha. They have to be similar to you, but do they have to be necessarily with you on the Bezdin? That's a machlokes. Now, we have a very, very important question to ask. We're running out of time, but this is the question that I'm sure everybody here had. We have already seen a number of times, particularly in the last Omud, that Moshe Rabbeinu is himself equal to 71. Okay, so we had a various psukim where it says on the previous psukim and the previous daf, for example, it says when you appoint a Sanhedrin, you've got to have a 71-man Bezdin. So the Gemara says, how do you know? So it says, because the original Sanhedrin Gedolah was appointed by Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu is himself equal to 71. So if that's the case, we have a bit of a problem. How can the Rabbonon say that you've got to have 71 on the Bezdin because you have 70 Zakenim plus Moshe Rabbeinu? Well, if it's 70 plus Moshe Rabbeinu, then it should be 70 plus 71. So it really should be in total 141 Dayanim on the Bezdin. How many is Moshe Rabbeinu equal to? Is he equal to 71 or is he equal to 1? This is a question that bothered me very much. So Baruch Hashem, yesterday, as I was preparing, I saw one of the Mefarshim on Shabbos afternoon, and he explains Moshe Rabbeinu is equivalent to 71 when he stands alone. But when he is a member of the Beis Din, then he's considered just like everybody else. And therefore, if you have to select 70 Zakenim plus Moshe Rabbeinu, then Moshe Rabbeinu is another member of the Beis Din. It's a very, very important principle. It's true Moshe Rabbeinu, as it were, freestanding, is equal to 71. That's true. And he refers you there, in this particular sefer that I saw, to a Mishnah in Ovos, where the Mishnah says that even if you have a very great dayan on the Beis Din, perhaps greater than all the others, but the Mishnah clearly says that this dayan has to be considered equal. And he cannot enforce the others to necessarily agree with his opinion, because they turn around to him and they say, now that you're on the Beis Din together with us, we each have one singular vote and we are all entitled to our opinion. And therefore the exact same over here as well. Moshe Rabbeinu is indeed equal to 71. That's true. But when he becomes a member of the Beis Din, then he's considered like one. So I have 70 plus one, that's 71 altogether. Okay. Yeah, Reb Larry?
Who's going to turn against Moshe Rabbeinu in a fair Beis Din? Is anybody going to turn to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, by the way, I don't agree with you, Moshe? I mean, how's that going to happen?
Yeah, so there is a whole sugya, which we will see much later on. We're going to quote it maybe tomorrow. We'll see on how it works between the Beis Dins. Are they allowed to consult? Are they allowed to change their opinion? Are they allowed to say, I defer to a more senior member of the Beis Din? But practically, that's a good question. But halachically, yes, everyone is entitled and you're allowed to disagree with Moshe Rabbeinu as well. Okay, we're going to hold that over here. As mentioned, Be'ezras Hashem Yisborach, it's Rosh Chodesh tomorrow, but nonetheless, it's Hashem, we're going to try and make every chizuk together as a chabura. 8:45, Mitz Hashem, a prompt start tomorrow, Be'ezras Hashem Yisborach.
Okay.
Nice.